producer and guitarist. Like I really dig all the riffs I've heard on the on these various albums, like on Moving and Gutted. So it's I think we have a very cool style which meshes very great with this sort of style. So yeah. Oh,
thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Well, that makes me feel thank you for saying that.
Yeah, and I don't know, can I ask you when did you like start playing music? Like because it looks like you've been doing this forever. So were you like trained like in a conservatory or something, or was it just autodidact stuff?
Yeah, I started playing guitar when I was 14. I did take like lessons to learn, you know, the basic chords and stuff, and then and then it was just sort of doing it on my own. Mm-hmm. And I did grow when I was like in primary school, and my mom did have me and my siblings like piano lessons, but I never really practiced, so I'm not, you know, it's more like for fun. Sure. I would play you know, keyboards and piano and stuff too, so yeah, just kind of doing it on my own. I think when I was 14 is when I really got into like independent music too. So mm-hmm. It was like, oh, I want to write my own music. And that's actually is when I started to kind of try to write songs by myself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then I was in a band in Chicago from about 2009 to 2016. So during that time, I wasn't doing a lot of solo stuff, but just mostly doing the band stuff too. So,
mm-hmm. What was that band called, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, sure. It's called Whales, like Whales. The animals. W-H-A-L-E. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I figured that, like, some of your songs are very, I don't know, like, you have this punk vibe. Like on Moving, the track Bitter Girl is, I don't know, I listen to so many, like, I don't know, punk songs from you. Like from Gutted, the Uneasy, the Loser, these are all like very heavy punk songs. So I don't know. Yeah, it was also very inspiring to listen to these Album in a Day projects. Like, I mean, that's dedication, this 24 hours straight work. So yeah, thank you for inspiring me.
Oh, well, thank you.
I have a whole lot of shit in the attic I need to work on.
We all do.
Yeah, well, I mean, and those were fun too, because it's sort of like, just put it out, like, don't think about it, even if it's not good, just, you know, do it. And that was hard for me for a while, but I think actually that those things kind of helped me just like put it on the internet and not give it a second thought. But
yeah, actually what I like about this first project that I heard from you is that I could feel that it was like, just let it be as it was. Like, if there was something that was not perfectly playing the guitar, it was like whatever, and I really enjoyed that was something that I really really dig in those projects back then, because it showed me a lot of freedom, you know.
Great attitude.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. Yeah, it's funny, I have listened back to some older stuff I did though, and then I do kind of go, oh, like the audio quality's not great, but I had to have it on the internet for so long, I'm like, oh well, like it's fine.
It sounds great, I think.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Let's move on to the next song, I think.
Parasite.
Yeah.
How did it came together?
How did it came together? I don't know.
Very much like the America lyrics, this mm-hmm. is also out of frustration of... just general grief, of course. And it's kind of just, there wasn't any particular thing that, like, person or thing that made me think of it. It's just that general going back to just kind of the idea of just taking and taking from the earth or from whatever, but never mm-hmm. contribute anything positive back. And so it's sort of like, you're kind of a parasite, you know, you're just taking as much as you can get, but you're not giving back anything, and that's kind of the idea. So just another general kind of song for just just all the madness in the world right now. But
you see, it's funny because we never really talk about the concept itself, so we play this game of throw me something and see how I express it or how I interpret it. And for me, because we never spoke about this, for me was a bit more like personal, you know, like in a relationship. And when although I knew that the general topic was quite social, politic, let's say, I felt this song a bit more like personal in terms of relationships. So when I produce the audio and I use the voices and everything, I put it in this kind of sick relationship, you know, where someone is getting suck out the blood and everything from other that is taking control and overpowering.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like to me as not really an interrogation, but like it sounds very like very private, like you're sitting down in a room with someone and and giving a stern talking to,
and very raw as well.
Yeah. Also, I the Invisibles comic book series came to my mind. Like in that comic book series, there is that basically that penetrating evil that these Invisibles are fighting against with everything they can, like using drugs, meditation, gods, and transcendental stuff. And yeah, it kind of sounded to me like you're speaking to that dark entity that's amorphous. Yeah. So, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yeah. And both those are all pretty much what I was trying to, like, just whatever you can apply it to, like just something that's, yeah, exactly. Like just take either relationship or political. Yeah.
Okay. So let us being fed on by this parasite for a while. Again, from Megan Blank, and Kinzo is here.
All scammers go to hell. You disregard all other life. You're not a human, you're a shell. If you're only good at cheating and you just can't stop your cheat, you shouldn't feel a sense of pride at being such a leech. You're a parasite.
I think we can move to our next section called 420, and we invited our friends to play with us to choose four songs from 20 years ago, from 2005, and Megan, you didn't choose a song from 2005, but if you would stick around with us and share your feelings about these songs that we've chosen, we would really appreciate it.
And also, if you know, you have a suggestion.
Yeah, right, we can now play it right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not right now, but like.
Not right now. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Sorry, Megan, are you with us?
Yeah, I just got back.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Sorry, I missed the last thing you mentioned, but.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you didn't get like the last couple of minutes, or?
Yeah, I think I just missed. Jumped on when you were talking about a song maybe or listening to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the segment called 420.
Yeah.
And it's the four songs from 2005. And
because
if you
20 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what's funny? I couldn't think back 20 years, like exactly that year. I was like, what was I listening to? So I unfortunately don't have a song, but because everything I looked up, I was like, oh, that's 2003. That's 2004.
Yeah, I was also struggling trying to find something, but it was easy at the end. I cheat completely because I said albums from 2005, and I found like the 100, and luckily, very luckily, I found on this list some stuff that I listened a lot back then.
Actually, we're doing this in our show like since January.
Right.
Almost every week or every 2 weeks we've had a show.
It's
getting harder and harder and easier at the same time as well to bring songs from 2005. Like it's an endless catalog. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
It is.
And now I'm feeling like I can't add all of my favorites in the show until the end of this year.
Yeah, yeah, and I also like learned about a whole bunch of new bands because I was forced to look into 2005 so much. So, but listen, Megan, if you know, if you have like an idea, even later, you can write us, and you know, we'll whip it up and play it on the radio.
Oh.
I mean, you know, but first one is I think mine.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw it.
That's it's like a 24 inch coin.
Yes.
That's why it's 420, is it?
Yeah. And
pun intended.
Sure. Yeah. Only puns. What I brought from 2005 is actually a 2004 track.
Oh,
from
shame
Maladroit.
On you.
I cheated.
We worked so hard.
Yeah, but I sort of allowed myself to do that because it's...
Because you are the boss in this radio.
I mean, yeah, it's my show.
It's your show.
No, it's also because it's on a 2005 double CD compilation.
Okay.
So, yeah. Let's listen to some pretty good breakcore, in my opinion. It's called Nameless Jungle Spasm That Walks Like a Goat. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Wow, that was some sick shit.
Oh yeah.
What did you guys think?
It was intense.
Yeah. It's an Australian record label called System Corrupt, which is now defunct, but yeah, alongside with Bloody Fist Records, they were putting out some pretty good bangers throughout the 90s and the 2000s. So,
and who was the artist in this song?
I couldn't find it.
No?
I mean, the sample.
The DJ, the producer, like... You haven't mentioned his or her name.
Didn't?
No.
Oh, shit. Okay, it was Maladroit, like one of the... I think he is a pretty prominent breakcore artist, does a whole lot of covers. Like, that's his specialty. Yeah.
So the next three songs will be a lot more normal. This one.
Oh shit.
And Kenzo, what did you pick?
Well, I was so happy to realize that there was a Nine Inch Nails album in 2005, which wasn't my favorite when it came out, but with the time I got to fall in love with it, and especially this song, which is one of my favorite topics, you know, when everything is going to hell, or at least that's what I got from the lyrics. Megan, you know this album?
Which one was it again?
It's With Teeth, the Nine Inch Nails album. Well, With Teeth.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I do. Yeah. So like you said, it wasn't my favorite, but it is pretty good.
Yeah, the song, the line begins to blur. It's so good.
Actually, I've seen them live this summer in Vienna, Nine Inch Nails, and I think they started it with Right Where It Belongs from this album.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I thought, because of this song, that was the only one that I knew from this with Teeth. And I thought that this album is more chilled out and
no.
it's like they calm down or something like that. But no, it's pretty sick
album.
As well. Yeah, it's...
Was this the one that was the double album, or is it...
No, that's the Fragile.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
It's from Fragile from 1999.
98 or
19. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
1999, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right, you won. Try to look it up. But yeah.
And I'm really interested because as I hear, Kenzo, in your music, you have a lot of industrial influences.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you get inspired by the Nine Inch Nails in your music? Because I can hear some and then... I don't know, effects or resemblances in this particular project, Sell Your Soul, as well.
Well,
on this one as well, yeah.
Because back in 94, when Downward Spiral came, that was a big inspiration for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was coming from 80s. Back in the 80s, the inspiration was something like The Cure and very mellow, easy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got to hear the Ministry album, The New World Order, and that changed my life. And that led me to Nine Inch Nails. And when I hear The Downward Spiral, that was a game changer for me because of how it was made. I mean, all the layers, all the hidden little sounds in the background. Mm. And that was a period when I was really into learning how to make electronic music. So that really, 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 really inspired me. I heard the Pretty Hate Machine a few years before, but it didn't touch me that much. Somehow I found it like way too pop for what he wanted to say. But I simply think that I didn't understand it. That would be the truth behind it.
That record sounds like the 80s.
Yeah.
A lot more than the later stuff.
Exactly. And it's not that I hate the 80s, because back in the 80s, I really love Italo disco. So as much as I hate to admit.
no shame in that.
but yeah, then when after being introduced into industrial music by Ministry and I got to hear this album, The Downward Spiral really, really took me by storm. And let's say between 94 and 99, mostly the music I produced was industrial.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe also like you have a very strong like audiovisual side. Like most of your live concerts are also coupled with like live video, so it's like a complete performance, like a presentation, a concert, and it also your tunes are very cinematic in a way. Like it's like building a story in some sorts. So yeah, I can see the resemblance.
Yeah, nowadays I cannot play without visuals. That simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. I really like building stories in between chaos somehow.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, one guy came to me once like, I really like your work, but I cannot find one thing that connects one of the video to the next one. I was like, well, that's the whole point. It's the madness and disconnection and chaos which makes one line of storyline.
Yep.
The video thing comes from Chris Cunningham. Do you know him?
Yeah.
He's the guy.
He directed the video of Madonna's Frozen, for example.
Aphex Twins.
Aphex Twins, yeah, yeah.
And I was, when I got to see the
that very sick video with girls with the Aphex Twin face.
Windowlicker.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and also Björk Soul is Full of Love.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So the thing is that when Come to Daddy came, I had it on DVD, so I could watch it frame by frame.
Wow.
And and it took me easy 30 minutes to go frame by frame, or maybe frame, two frames, three frames, one frame again, because I really wanted to learn how he could do this very sync editing chops and and flashes to make it to really get make it in sync with the music. And I found if you ever watch frame by frame this video, you will find that he used a lot of practical tricks. For example, there is a copy machine that he throwing water over it. And it showed sometimes in a few frames, sometimes in more frames. But if you don't really pay attention, you don't notice that it's a copy machine, just because it's basically in the darkness and you see the light passing from one side to the other, and he's pouring water on it. So things like that. Or for example, if you don't watch frame by frame the video, you don't notice that this monster, the big monster at the end, he has basically these very cheap plastic long nails that you find for Halloween parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's how I learned, and that's how I became what I am in the terms of visuals. I really like to go deep into the details, and probably I spend 8 hours on four frames.
Sure. You can get away with a lot in motion.
And yeah. Yes, I want to shock.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, so
let's go to the point when the line begins to blur.
Yes.
We're back.
Megan, do you have a story with Nine Inch Nails?
Don't have an exact story, but I have been a fan of theirs, definitely. I don't have as much background in listening to like industrial, but I've been a fan of theirs since the 90s. I like the melodic sense to, you know, all the music. And when it gets heavier, it's still melodic. And so I really appreciate that. Listening to like, I'm trying to think of a specific Nine Inch Nails song I like, and I can't. My memory is so bad. I almost have to be looking at the album or the track list to be like, oh yeah, that one, you know, or listen to it again.
I bet you like Hurt.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yes. Uh-huh. And I like, there's one that's like,
Head Like a Hole.
Well, that one's a good one too. There was like a little piano keyboard. It's like an instrumental one.
They had some instrumental albums, like the Ghosts series. Oh. I think they were like ambient stuff. That was interesting.
Do you remember the soundtrack of Natural Born Killers?
Mm. Yep, and that's the song I'm thinking of.
Actually. I know. That's actually the first song I heard from Nine Inch Nails back in 1991. And that was in a very interesting circumstances because it was the first